Reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." May I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to see if this tech works. Otherwise, I might, Andy, don't go too far, because I might need to be calling upon you. Praise God, and I see the battery's about to run out of this too, so great. Schoolmaster says, "Now are you sure you've got the catechism all buttoned up, Foster?" Foster: "I'm a bit hazy about the Trinity, sir." Schoolmaster: "Three in one, one in three, perfectly straightforward. Any doubts about this, see your maths master." Foster probably is not the only one to be confused about the Trinity. This area of doctrine is notoriously difficult and mysterious, not to say mystifying. Michael Lloyd, in his book Cafe Theology, has a really good chapter on the Trinity if you want to read more about the doctrine, but I'm not going to be going into it today. I looked back at some of my sermons in the past years. They were so boring, they sent me to sleep. So there you go. I wonder when you hear the word Trinity, though, what you think or feel. Perhaps some of us go back to sort of Sunday school days when we remember our teachers trying to find some illustrations to share what the Trinity was like, such as the clover leaf, if you remember that, maybe the candle, and even water, egg. Now, the scissor was a new one to me. I've never heard of the scissor being used to illustrate the Trinity, but there you go. I don't think any of them do justice to the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons of the triune God. Now, if you were here last Sunday at the 10:30 service, Dave said that he had prepared his sermon quite well in advance, but as he went for a run early in the morning, he felt God saying, "No, I didn't want you to say that. I want you to say something else." Now, that hasn't exactly happened to me, but I was running out of time, had my mum coming to stay, and I was thinking, "Lord, what do you want me to say on this Sunday?" And on Wednesday morning, I woke up early, about 6 o'clock, with the words of the grace on my lips and these words as well: "Come and make your home in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So I woke up with the words of the grace and "Come and make your home with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." We often use the words of the grace, don't we, to finish church meetings. We often use it at the end of our PCC. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The love of God the Father. Throughout Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was trying to find ways of introducing the love of his Father to others. And perhaps his greatest pain was that the one whom he most loved, valued, and appreciated was so misunderstood. He used parables, didn't he, such as the prodigal son and the laborers in the vineyard to show how generous, welcoming, loving, and forgiving his Father was and is. The love of the Father, the grace of the Son. The Hebrew word for grace is hen, commonly translated as favor, which means acceptance or goodwill, regardless whether we have earned it. In other words, grace is undeserved. It can't be earned. It's not freely given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus gave up everything. He gave up everything that he enjoyed in heaven as he came to earth to serve, to save, to die, and to make new through his resurrection and ascension. The love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that I've just read that leads us into all truth, who will guide us into all truth. Jesus speaks of the Spirit throughout the Gospel of John, but it is in the resurrection that the power of the Holy Spirit raises him from the dead and then is poured out at Pentecost that we celebrated onto all people last week. The revelation is that God is not one person but three, but also not only personal, but he's relational. He's relational. Now, this is from Michael's book, but I couldn't find anything that actually says that it's love, 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 love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And not only do they love one another, but the surprise is that they love us too. They want to share their family life with us. As someone said, they're determined to spare no effort to reveal their love and to invite us to participate forever in their happiness. They say to us today, come and make your home with us. It echoes Jesus' words in John 15, the vine and the branches that was preached on at Catherine's ordination yesterday. The Message translation, though, is this. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love, as I have made myself at home in my Father's love. So the Trinity shows us, reminds us, emphasizes to us the importance of relationships. We are made in the image of God. Therefore, we are made to have relationships with one another and with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit need one another, so do we. Interesting, the Lectio 365 WhatsApp, which I use sometimes for prayer, last Tuesday talked about fellowship being different from friendship. And it said fellowship is deeper than friendship. It's a bond of commitment that says to another, I am with you in the pain and in the joy. I think friendship does that as well. But sometimes as I was thinking about friendship, our friends are sometimes, aren't they, the same sort of people as us. or people who have the same hobbies as us, or maybe the same professions, or the same socioeconomic backgrounds, same nationality, perhaps. But fellowship, it's richer, it's deeper, because it's modelled on the Trinity. Now, I know, forgive me, that I have used the Rublev icon so many times. But you know, I was talking at the staff meeting, they're going, can't you find something else, Henny? Well, I tried to find something else, and to be quite honest, they left me stone cold about relationships. So bear with me, we have some new people here who might not have seen the Rublev icon. So anyway, it was painted by someone called Andrew Rublev in 1423, and he wanted to bring the people of Russia together by their contemplation of the Trinity. And it was made, really, for deep contemplation of the mystery of the Trinity. For me, it speaks of coming home, making our home within the Trinity. Just want to read what is said a little bit about it in this beautiful book called Love Beyond All Telling, and it's all about the Trinity. But just let me share this. So as you look at the icon, you'll notice that the three divine persons are depicted as visitors wearing travelers' clothes. They have staffs in their hands, sandals on their feet, and cloaks draped over one shoulder. They have come a long distance and will soon move on again. They are winged. A title given to the icon sometimes is The Welcome That Makes a Stranger into a Friend. There's an open space at one side of the table. It is an invitation to each of us, to all of us, to take our place at the table and to share their meal and their life. The icon stresses the open place that is reserved for you and for me. The space speaks of hospitality, invitation, welcome, of their readiness to give to us. And fellowship is reciprocal, isn't it? So just as we are invited to make our home in the Trinity, so we welcome them home in us. Sometimes called the table of fellowship. The table of fellowship is within us, in our hearts, in our minds. Remember, in Revelation, Jesus says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. Table space, fellowship, it's so important. Now, if this icon doesn't work for you, that's fine. But perhaps reflect on experiences that of being at a table. Perhaps when you were a child or when you were with brothers and sisters, with friends, with people who you didn't know when you sat down next to them, but you knew them when you stood up at the end of the meal. The special moments, the sad moments, the challenging conversations, the opportunity of being you, of knowing you've been valued and valuing the person that you are having conversation with. Because I think such images hint at what it is to be at the table of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The invitation that says, come and sit with us, to talk with us, to be with us, receiving their love, their joy, and their peace. Now, I have to admit, in the presence of my mother today, that one of the things that I miss most, having moved out of our big family home, is the dining room, which could accommodate a very large number of people, and where friends and family would come together to sit and to eat and to drink and talk about all manner of subjects and topics and books, agreeing and more often not disagreeing. A real sense of fellowship and where friendships were made. I miss that hugely, and it made me think Is that what the Trinity feels when we pass by the invitation to waste time with them at their table? The invitation to join in with their conversation and the opportunity for us to share our lives with them. Because they call us today to come and make our home with them and them with us. I've very recently seen the film The Salt Path. I've read the book as well, as I'm sure many of you have. A true story of a husband and wife who've lost everything, their home, their possessions, and they decide to walk the 630-mile southwest path from Somerset, Dorset, Devon, Cornwall. And at the end of the journey, Raina, the wife, says, "I am home. There was nothing left to search for me. He, Moth, her husband, is my home." I wonder how it would change us if we truly believed God was our home, taking our place at the table of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. To be in their company, to move within their circle, to come to know them as our best friends, to hang out with them, to share our hopes and our joys and our pains and our fears, to know their welcome and hospitality, their love and compassion. Surely, as we become part of the family of the Trinity, our hearts and homes will be open to those who are not necessarily like us, but whom God is calling us to invite into our homes, to prepare a meal, to offer welcome that makes a stranger into a friend. True fellowship as offered by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, as we celebrate the Trinity, perhaps we can hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit encouraging us to widen our tent pegs, to witness the fellowship and friendship of the divine persons of the Trinity with other people in the family of St. Mark's, offering that same unconditional and total love that they do to us. The love that says, "Come and make your home with us." So let's remain in attitude of prayer as Christine brings us our prayers of intercession.
Shall we pray? Lord, on this day we come to you as Father, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we celebrate our earthly fathers today, we remember those who may have lost their father this year or in recent days. Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for those who maybe didn't know their father. Lord, there's so many circumstances when this could happen. Lord, we just pray for those today who feel it's uncomfortable, who that brings back so many unhappy memories. But Lord, I just pray that we can, and just thank you that we can come to you as Father. You can be our Father, and I pray that you'll be with all those who need you today. Father, as we think of things that's happening in the news, we pray for those involved in the plane crash in India. Lord, all killed but one. We can't understand why these things happen, but Lord, I just pray that you will be with all the families that concerned, all those who have lost loved ones in that crash. And as we look to our world, Lord, Our hearts are sore. There's so much fighting, so much conflict, so much unhappiness, so much unrest. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray for all these things, Lord. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray for. We can't put the words in. Oh, Father, we just give our world to you. We pray for our country, Father, our royal family. We pray for the government. Lord, we just pray that you will instill in them the things that you want for our country. And Father, lastly, we pray for ourselves, for our church here at St. Mark's. We want to be known as a church of love. We want to be known as a fellowship who reach out to others. Oh, Lord, just work in our lives, Lord, that we may be more like you, that we can tell others about you, that we can show you in all the things that we do and say. Oh, Father, accept these our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.